first thing, it's hard to read. In the Shulchan Aruch we have Shoyal in the Hilchos Pesach, Koidim the Pesach Shloishim Yom. In the text in the Torah, in the text that we actually have in our Gemara, not in all Gemaras, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in fact, that has this text of Shoyalin. But in Pesachim we have Shoyalin B'dorshin B'hilchos HaPesach, Shloishim Yom Koidim Achad. Shoyalin B'dorshin. So Shoyalin talks of the ones that ask the Shoyalis, and Dorshin is the ones that give the Shiur. We're talking apparently about two different sets of people. Now, in the Shulchan Aruch, we don't have Shaul and Bedorshim. We have Shaul and Bechukos Pesach Kodem and Pesach Shloishim Yom. Now, does that mean the same thing as Shaul and Bedorshim? As well, the Torah has that text, or perhaps it means something else. Now, we're not even sure what the Gemara means for the. Why? Because we generally take it, Shaul and Bedorshim, Hilchos Pesach, Shloishim Yom Koidem Achag, that we're supposed to learn Hilchos Pesach 30 days before the Chag. The Ran and the Rashba say that's not Pshat in the Gemara. It's nothing to no such halacha. The Gemara is addressing a totally different subject. And that is, if you're a Rav, or even more so, if you're the gavoy of a rov, and people come with shailas. So today is, we're just starting Yud Zayin Adar. So two guys come to the door with a shaila. One guy was leaving home in 10 days, and he wants to know how to do the Bedikas Chometz. And one guy has a shaila about Mishleach Monas. So, who gets precedence? Who's the priority? So, if it's more than 30 days before the Chag, you know, let's say it's 90 days before the Chag, so they're both on equal footing. If it's within 30 days of the Chag, and another guy comes, he has some shayla, it's relevant in the summertime. And a guy comes to within 30 days of the Chag of Pesach, takes priority, he's up to Purim, they're equal. Meaning to say that the priority has to be given to the one that's asking what's pertinent presently. So within 30 days of Pesach is considered the Pesach season, as we'll see. It has other implications in the din, which are universally accepted. It's the Pesach season. So someone that comes and knocks on the Rav's door with a Shaila and Hilchos Pesach takes precedence over someone that's not asking about Pesach. So there's a shayla relevant to some other time of the year. Up until Pesach, I have a shayla nuchas Pesach, and you have a shayla nuchas Shavuos. We're on equal footing. Starting from Purim and on, the guy with the shayla nuchas Pesach takes precedence, and the guy with the nuchas Shavuos goes to the back of the line. That's what the Ran says is the implication. I'm not telling you what you have to learn, what you don't have to learn. No, it's not the issue at all that the Gemara is addressing. Or it's only addressing how the Rav is supposed to respond to the shaylas that come to it. Now that's consistent really with the text of Shoyalin B'Hilchos Pesach. You ask about Hilchos Pesach. But once we introduce the word Dorshim, Dorshim seems to have another implication, that we teach Hilchos Pesach. So that's not necessarily consistent with the Ran's Shita. Now, the question is what actually makes up this mitzvah. So we have a number of rayas. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and a few Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the following. Right now, all of us know what Shloishim Yom Koidem Achag within that time frame. Come another 10 days, we'll be up to Chav Zayin Ador, Chav Tes Ador. The Sanhedrin are going to sit down, they'll look over the scene and decide, you know, it's not a good idea to have Pesach in 2 weeks, for whatever their reason. The old varied reasons the Gemara gives. And therefore, we want to make a leap year. So we're going to push Pesach up to May 14th. That's it. Are they supposed to do such a thing or not? They have some reason that they feel it's warranted. So So the halacha is they're not supposed to do it. That is a shaila. If they did do it, in the final view, when the Gemara says that if they did it, it's makudish, in fact, then it does take effect, but they're not supposed to do it.
Did the king do that?
What?
Did the king Hizkiyahu do that something and Chazal criticized him?
For?
He declared.
Oh, yeah, he changed, yeah.
Well, you already have a leap year, though. What is the Rotterdam case where he wasn't a leap year?
And yeah, but it wasn't a leap year. And they decided.
So when are they supposed to address this issue? Aren't they supposed
but
to
they're not supposed
the issue?
After, up, oh, you'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? Why can't they make a leap year? It's more than if you come and you're going to tell me that, listen, Pesach is 2 weeks earlier. Okay, that's, you know, you'll have a revolution if you try that. Then if you want to make Pesach a month later, I mean, what should be the Avla in that? So the Gemara says the problem is that people are already in Pesach. They're in gear for Pesach already. They're doing the countdown. They started from Purim 30 days till Yontif. You come along and tell them now, you know, Pesach's March, May 14th, they're going to go tell you, take a hike. What are you, nuts? You fell on your head? Everyone knows that Pesach was 30 days from Purim. We celebrated Purim. We read the Megillah. We had the Mishloach Monos. And we're counting down. Now already 2 weeks went by. It's 16 days left to Yontif, and that's a Dreinishken cup. Stories, mises. So a lot of people are just going to say, listen, Yontif is April 14th. That's it. The night of April 14th, not that Monday night. I think it's a Monday night, April 14th, right? They're gonna sit down and they're going to make a Seder. They're going to observe Pesach for 7 days. Only one little problem. That they should have been reading the Megillah, right? As we read, the Korah Megillah by the Rishon, and then they were Ma'abed a year. Whatever the reason. But maybe they shouldn't have done it, but they did it. Korah is a Megillah by the Rishon, and then they were Ma'abed the year. So the halacha is you have to read again. So instead of sitting down and having matzah, so the night, instead of doing Bedikas Chometz, that night they should have been reading the Megillah and Erev Yom, that they should have been having Mishlech Monos Sinad Elo Yoda. And these guys are burning the Chometz. And then they sit down the night of Shushan Purim, and they make it a Seder. Then what happens? No, that's a Halvatar. Now comes next month, and they're getting ready for Lag BaOmer already. And meanwhile, they're supposed to be doing Bedikas Chametz and making the Seder. So what's going to come out is they're going to wind up celebrating Pesach and Adar Sheni, and eating Chametz and Nisan. So Chazal did not want this type of last minute change. Okay, if they did it, it takes effect. But they didn't want this last minute change. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So the Chavetz Chaim raises the following issue. He says, excuse me a second, let's get this off. As if the Ran is right, so this is not a holiday. This is not something which possesses Klal Yisrael. We're all in gear for Pesach after Purim. It's a shayla in the Rav's house. The Rav is a gavan, you know, and the gavan has to make order. And the guy calls up, he has to see the Rav. So he asks him, what's the shayla? So this guy tells him he has a shayla in Luchos Shavuos, and this guy has a shayla in Luchos Pesach. So the guy with Luchos Pesach, he tells to go first. He tells the other guy on the bottom of the list. But this is not a huge public happening. This is just how the Rav prioritizes the people that come to him. He says, so why in the world should that bring about that people will come to say that this is we have to keep, you know, Pesach. We're so into the Pesach. What are you can't be, you must be kidding. That they were connected, but the halacha of Shaul and Bedosh and Bilchas of Pesach. That's why people are in the Pesach mode. So, he says, this is a private happening. It doesn't possess Klal Yisrael. So how would it lead people to come to the conclusion that, oh, but someone Pesach again, you can't change this now. Then you got to be joking. He says, if you learn Shaila Vidorshan, that's, you know, that's it. You put away the rest of the Mishnah Berurah, And you get out the Masechta Pesachim and the Mishnah Berurah, and you start, you know, tearing into Hilchos Pesach. And everyone is, you know, asking each other, Shailas, how do you understand this? What's this thing? How does this work? How does the third thing work? The fourth thing work? Yeah, okay. So then you're talking to the point. Then it's a whole where of a huge commotion and how to be Mekayim, you know, getting ready for Pesach. And all of a sudden you tell us, oh, no, forget about it. You can take out and learn the Halachos now of Megillah, Priyas and Megillah again. You know, this is a massive change. So you can understand, the Gemara said, it's such a massive change, it's not going to go down so well. The people come to be Mezalzel, many people are going to say, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a simple Jew. My father told me 30 days after Purim comes Pesach. That's it. We read the Megillah, we had Mishleach Moros. 30 days and that was Pesach. You know, you guys, go bother yourselves. That's Raya number one. Secondly, there's a machlekes in the Gemara between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim. Between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim. Very interesting. It's fascinating to see how Gdoli Olam, what they saw in the Gemara. They see the Gemara with a different set of eyes and a different depth. You know, we could see the same Gemara, learn the same Gemara, and the lights don't light up in the same way. They look at the Gemara, they see, and it's not after they take us by the hand, yeah, then we see it also. But till then, what did Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shliya to say? He says, the hardest thing of talking to a Shver Abel Yosef, he says, Mamelov had a Shaila and I didn't know the answer, and he brought me a Raya from some Shailas and Shubas that I never saw in my life, or a Toseftin Uktin, okay, I wouldn't feel so bad. But that Daf Gemara where I was looking for the answer, from that Daf Gemara, he brought me the Hebrew, he proved to be what the answer to my Shaila was. Says, that's the problem. Says, right where I was looking for the answer, I couldn't find it. He dug it right out in front of me, right out of that Gemara. That's the problem. So the Gemara says the following. There is a halacha which says the following. Let's say you go away for Yontif. You leave. And you have no intention of coming back until after Yontif. So you have to do B'dikas Chametz or not. So Halacha says the following. That if you go away up until Purim and you don't return until after Pesach, then you put it from B'dikas Chametz. If you leave from Purim and on, then you mechuyev in B'dikas Chametz. So our Rashub was a tzal some years that he was going away to Eretz Yisrael. For Pesach, he would dafka leave for that reason before Purim, so the Rebbe shouldn't have the tircha of having to clean up the, you know, the whole place. For Yontif. No, but he gets home to Eretz Yisrael, one of the states. So, where do we get this halacha from? So the Gemara says, where does this come from? Kiddushanya. This is linked to the halacha of Shoyalim v'Dorshim Bilchos HaPesach. That's what it's tied to. We'll come back to that, what the connection is. It's less than an obvious connection, but the Gemara says that's the connection. Shem ben Gamliel Omer Shtei Shabbos, 2 weeks before. Night time of the Tanakhama. What's the reason of the Tanakhama of the 30 days? Sharei Moshe, Oymed Pesach Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu was up to Erev Pesach. And the people came, right, the people of Pesach Sheni, they asked Lo Monigora. Listen, your brother, Rabbi Klal Yisrael is bringing a korban here to celebrate the Pesach. And here we are, we're doing a mitzvah, taking the Atzmus Yezu with us, and we're excluded. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes and gets the parasha of Pesach Sheni for them. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and that's the day he teaches them the halachas of Pesach Sheni. So he taught them 30 days in advance. So you see, you have to learn 30 days in advance. So Shmuel Galil says you don't have a proof in that you have to have 30 days. It just happened to come about. Why? Because I did the Ayurim Mila de Pischa. Since the Rabbeinu Shalom was telling him all the halachas of Pesach, then is a Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Masad Lahu L'chol Mila de Pischa. So they completed, in other words, now we're in Pesach gear, so they finished the last halacha in Achos Pesach, that if you tumba, you bring a Pesach sheni. It's not dafka that you have to be, you have a 30-day time frame, but since we're doing the rest of Achos Pesach, and this is just the final halacha, so we put this one in here too. Now, my time in Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, what's the reason for Rosh Hashanah Gamliel that he says 2 weeks? Sharei Moshe Omer Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh Nisa and Moshe Rabbeinu calls before Klal Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shalom said to him, Achodesh and Zelachem Rosh Chodesh. O Mazer Ola Pesach. And he told him Hilchas Pesach, of the Korban Pesach. Shnei Mar Achodesh and Zelachem Rosh Chodesh. Uksiv and the Rebbeinu Shalom told him, Dabru Okol Adas Yisrael Eimor, but also Achodesh and Zeb Yikulem Yisrael Beis Avis. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a problem with this. If this is a good raya, not a good raya. Okay, I don't want to get off into, that's not important for now. The Gemara's pikpukim on the rayas. So the Shaila is, so the Chabad Chaim says, there's a distinct difference between the limud of the Chachamim, that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them Pesach Sheni with Pesach Rishon, and the limud of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. What's the difference? The difference is the following. In the case of the Chachamim, Moshe Rabbeinu was asked the Shaila, and he answered the Shaila to them. So, that doesn't tell me necessarily how Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to teach, not supposed to teach. Maybe it's just they're answering Shilas. There you could say what you want. But when it comes to the limud of Shimon Gamliel, nobody came to ask a Shilas. The Rebbeinu Shalom tells him, what's the appropriate man to teach Achos Pesach? He tells him, Achodesh Azelachem Roish Chadoshim, Dabru Akol Adas B'nai Yisrael Eimu. So this is not in response to a Shilas. This is the Rebbeinu Shalom gave him his marching orders, get up and give a drosha. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is clearly talking about not answering a shayla because no one asked him a shayla. There was no shayla to ask. There was no dinner called Pesach yet. If after there was a dinner called Pesach, then you could ask, well, if I'm Tommy, what do I do? That's a shayla. But no one could ask him about Korban Pesach because there wasn't any Korban Pesach yet. So Pesach Rishon is a chaydish hazeh. Dabro of an Yisrael Eimor, but also a chaydish hazeh. So 2 weeks before Yontif, he got up and he told him, listen, what do you have to do? So when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he said, clearly the halacha would seem to be, it's not a halacha of how you respond to a shayl, to a person asking a shayl, it's a question of how you teach the Torah. And what you teach, what? So he says, if in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it means to elucidate the halachas, not only to respond to shaylas, but to be proactive in teaching the halachas, that the machlokes of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not in what you're supposed to do. They're only arguing, if it's 30 days before or 2 weeks before. But they have the same definitions of whatever Shoal and Vidorshim is. So just as in Shimon Gamliel, it's abundantly clear that it means to teach the halachas, not just the priority of whom goes to the first top of the list. Who goes to the top of the list. But rather, teaching the halachas. So similarly, when the Chacham talk about 30 days, it would seem to be that they're also talking about teaching the halacha. So he says, yeah, there are a number of rayas to the view of most of the Rishonim, not like the Ran and the Rashba. So he's suggesting that the halacha remains, and that's why, as I said, most Rishonim hold that way, that the Shoal and Vidorshim Ilchas HaPesach means that we teach Ilchas Pesach. Now, there is still another shayla based on the Shitas Yerushalmi. The question is, to whom are we referring? Are we referring, this is an individual halacha, that individuals are supposed to sit and learn Achos Pesach 30 days before? Or this is referring to the public Talmud Torah is supposed to be focused on Achos Pesach at this time of the year. So according to the Rishalmi, it's the public Talmud Torah which is supposed to be faced. When you come to shul, the shiurim and the learning should be focused on Achos Pesach. But you do privately? Listen, I'm learning Menachos now. That doesn't have anything to do with what you're learning privately. But Barabim, you come at night to the shir, what are the shiurim and what's the Rabim learning? the Rabbi should be learning Hilchos Pesach. This is the Shitna of the Rishalmi. So they had, it's a different spin than the Bavli has. Now, the question also is, there are a number of questions. At the very end of Masechta Megillah, the last piece of Gemara, Masechta Megillah, is a Gemara that Moshe Tikkunam the Yisrael, that they should study the Halachos Pesach b'Pesach, Halachos Atzeres b'Atzeres, and Halachos Chag b'Chag. So is this connected to this Halachos Sholem v'Dorshim Shloshim Mimkodim Achag or not? So the Bach says it's absolutely connected. Meaning, what's the meaning? The meaning is start 30 days before. In case you don't finish, so keep on learning on the Chag. If you finish, you know, do whatever you want in the Chag. That's the Bach sheet. Most of the Achroinim do not agree with him.
Why would it be necessary for us to know that, to say that?
What?
Why would it be necessary for the Gemara to say that?
Yeah. It's also a problem. So most don't learn that way. Most learn that these are two independent halachos. And I would put it this way, in terms of my understanding of it, is the following. The Shloshim Yoyim Kodem Achag, that's preparation for Yom Tov. You have to prepare for Yom Tov. You know, this is a mighty Yom Tov. I mean, there is no other Yom Tov in terms of preparation which compares. I mean, there's so many halachas, Medikas Chometz, Bittul Chometz, Yisr Anor, when Chometz is bottled, when it's not bottled. The halachas of Matzah, the halachas of the Seder, the halachas of Kasher and Yaos. I mean, it's endless what goes into making Pesach. And Rabbi said, we have to realize we have it easy. Why? Because most of the, we don't have to bring a common Pesach. And even compared to our forefathers, a few generations ago, most of the food is ready. We're not starting to make food from scratch in our house. You know, we buy Baruch Hashem, there's a big industry of, you know, legitimately kosher Pesach food. So, just as an aside, Rabbi Yisai, anything you buy for Pesach, before you open it up and actually use it, stop and examine the package and make sure it has a hashgacha for Pesach. After all the effort that you put into Yom Tov, you don't want to mess up because someone somewhere along the line, the store put something in the wrong place, they misdelivered the wrong thing to you. I've had more than one incident. The worst of all, I'll tell you, but I've had a number along the same lines. A woman made a fish order of rolls of filter fish before Yom Tov. You know, she piled them into the freezer. And she made the fish for the storeroom in the first day's Yom Tov. Came Chol HaMoed, that was one of our daughter or whatever, went to the freezer to take one out, and she looks at it. And it's the chametz to go on. And this is real chametz. It's made with matzah melt, these things. So could you imagine all the effort you put into Yom Tov, and here you're eating mamash on the Pesach like China, you're eating it to say the chametz.
They were wondering why the filter fish tasted so good.
So, every package, it's in there are mistakes. Human beings make mistakes. The guys that deliver to you, you know, sometimes they don't even open the package. They get a package from the factory, they send you a whole case. They didn't look inside. So back somewhere in the factory, somebody put the wrong case one day and they were in the wrong freezer. And it got delivered to you. So the guy that handled them, or the verb vendor that handled it, he didn't even open up the case. It came as, he took it as a kosher Pesach case and sent it on to you. He doesn't even know what's in there. Sometimes you go to the store and somebody takes the non-kosher Pesach and they put it down on the Pesach shelves. Ma'isim b'chol yom. People go shopping, but they should stop to think what they do, but they don't. They pick up the chametz tikkun one, then they go around the store and they finally come to the section which has the Pesach tikkun one, so they realize they have the wrong one. So what do? So they take the chametz tikkun one and put it on the Pesach shelf and put the Pesach one into their shopping cart. And I'll never to the next guy that comes, and he comes to the Pesach shelf with all the white papers, and he takes it off the Pesach shelf, yeah, but it's... Every package, before you put it into service, just take 1 minute to look at it. This is the one you're supposed to be using. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. Oh. So, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, that's preparation for Yom Tov. the Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, Chag b'Chag, Atzeres b'Atzeres, that's the celebration of Yom Tov. The Hainu, let me explain. We're all familiar with the Sefer Mesilas Yishon. That the Mesilas Yishon is built on a Gemara, an Avodah Zarah, and a Pinchas Ben Yair, which starts off that Torah is maybe the day of Zahirus. Zahirus to Zerizus and Zerizus to Nikias and on and on and on. Now, the Mesilas Yishon did not spend much time, more than a few sentences he didn't spend in the Sefer on Torah, because that was not his issue. He was dealing with people that understood already how important Torah was. And the point that he was trying to make was that that's the beginning. There's a lot more to be done after that, and we have to keep moving ahead to all the other aspects of Avodah Hashem. And that's the debate between the two figures in the Sefer and the one Avi Devi Kuach, between a Yid that's a very big Lamdan and one that's also a Bal Musa. And this is the debate. So that to him was, in, that was axiomatic, so he didn't write about Torah, except minimally. He wrote a little bit. But he principally starts to talk about Zahirus. So we need to realize that the whole process begins with Torah. That's where it starts. Now, we saw Salanter stated the following. And we talk about that Torah is a primary means of elevating ourselves. He says for two different reasons. One is the general ruchnius of Torah. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. It's an enormous mitzvah. We mekadesh ourselves, we sanctify ourselves through Limud HaTorah. From that standpoint, it really makes no difference what I learn. I could be learning the halachos of Tumah and Torah, and I'll be a better Shomer Shabbos. Why? Because my spiritual level will be higher, and maybe I'll take Shabbos more seriously. I'll approach it in a different sense, because my neshama is elevated. So that's a very roundabout method, but it works. There's a much more direct method, and that much more direct method is if I want to become a better Shomer Shabbos, is to learn Masechet Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos in as much depth as I can. And that will affect me, obviously, in two ways. There's a psychological dimension to it, which is I'm so involved in it in all the details. I live it and I breathe it. So it becomes something much more real and much more significant to me. So when I come to Shabbos, Shabbos takes on a different meaning to me. There's a spiritual dimension too, that each parsha in the Torah elevates us in reference to that area of the Torah specifically. In Sifrei Kabbalah, they bring the Chassidish Sforim bring from Sifrei Kabbalah, from the Arizal, that every parsha in the Torah is a skula to help us be mekayim that mitzvah. So the parsha in the Torah which deals with that mitzvah, if we get deeply involved in it, that itself gives us a new strength to be mekayim that mitzvah. So thus, it's really what Yisrael said is in two dimensions. There's a psychological dimension and a spiritual dimension to the Talmud Torah. So that's the gateway to elevating our ruchnius. We elevate our ruchnius in Hilchos Shabbos by learning Hilchos Shabbos. And that's really the way we access the ruchnius, the spirituality. The same is true in the Chagim. To access the spirituality of the Chagim is the Torah Sachagim, through the Torah. There's all the essence of the Chag lies in the halachas of the Chag. So if we learn the Hilchos HaChag, we're connecting with the inner spirit of what the Chag is, and that elevation. So that's the celebration of Yom Tov itself. That's, I believe, what most Shittas hold the deity. So this is, and as I said, it has, beyond the study of the Halachas, that is a whole pilpul, is this only true of Pesach, or is it true of the other Yom Tovim too? So there are some achrayim that say that the din of the Gemara only applies to Pesach, because Pesach is such a massive and revolutionary body of halacha that they were mechayev us to spend a lot of time learning. The rest of the Yom Tovim are not so revolutionary, and consequently, mitzad din of the Gemara one doesn't have to. There's a mitzad minig one's supposed to do it, but not mitzad din of the Gemara. The Vilna Gaon disagrees. Yeah.
It's an actual
chiyuv,
the idea of the
30 days? Yeah, it's an actual chiyuv, yeah. It's a chiyuv. the...
That every day of the 30 days?
Yes, that you should, you should.
Sukkos is pretty complicated,
Sukkos is not nearly as complicated as Pesach. Remember, on Pesach, you start off that your whole house is treif. Okay, before everything else, the food is treif, the dishes are treif, the stove is treif, so everything's treif. So forget all the hard, the sukkahs, you don't have to clean out that for something out of your house and clean it out and make sure you don't have a drop of it left. By your all, by your motzei, Pesach has its own things to it, which are unparalleled in any other yontif. So the Vilna Gaon says it applies to all the chagim. But he says it's but the mashmos and shas is they used to gather to study the halachas at a regular only two times a year. So he says the reason for that is that shvuas has really minimal halachas. It's just halachas of yomtov. So mameila, they didn't need such a long time. So there wasn't in the time of the shas that they made such a formal event of teaching the halachas before shvuas. So he says one could start on Rosh Chodesh Sivan as enough time. You don't need Shleishim Yom in terms of the Halachos HaShavuos. But to make a Cheshman, 2/3 of Chedek Hamishi in the Mishnah Berurah is hardcore Hilchos Pesach. And the last 1/3 is Hilchos Yontov, which you also have to know. Chol HaMoed is already in the next Chelek. Right? So you have a whole Chelek that's relevant to Pesach. 2/3 which is Pesach specific, but doesn't have, there's no connection with any other chag.
So according to either explanation, though, why isn't there such a din on Shabbos, or is there such a din on Shabbos?
It could be there is. Maybe that's part of the din, that Moshe Rabbeinu was koveya the dinim. I'm not sure, but it could be that when Moshe Rabbeinu was koveya the Shabbos Shiurim, perhaps that has to do with it. It's also, there's an inyan. I don't really know the mocker of this minig, but there is a minig. Some have the minig that on every chag that they do the mishnayos of that chag. Now, there are yidin that have the minig that every Shabbos they do all the mishnayos of Masechta Shabbos. Yeah. Which is parallel with that minig of Yom Tov, which could have to do with what you're talking about. But it's an interesting question. I'll have to look more.
Most people do Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah is very common that people do, but there's people that do for every,
Shabbos.
Yeah, every Shabbos. Yeah, I knew what I need. I knew it's such a need.
Did Shabbos?
So I did Shabbos, all the Mishnah, yeah, every Shabbos, yeah.
Wow. I'm not leaving very quickly. Rabbi
Yosef couldn't do it, I can tell you that. He learned 5 prokim of Mishnayos for his father's yahrzeit, and he started 2 o'clock in the morning, and he finished 10 o'clock the next night when he went to sleep. Yeah.
Because he knew all the Gemara that was behind.
Whatever, say, because he didn't learn anything superficially. Everything he learned was what phenomenal Ian. He took nothing lightly. So these are some of the dimensions of the Shleishim Yom Kodem HaChag. So what has to do with the learning of the halachas, according to the Ran Shaul Ke'inyan, and also that they did Bedikas Chometz. The connection to Bedikas Chometz, what's the connection? So the Chor, the connection is the following. That the Pshat is that the Pesach season started. He did. That's why it's Shaul and Vedoshan. So the Pesach season begins. Once the Pesach season begins, so the Rabbanu were mechayev the halachos of Pesach from that time. Before the Pesach season begins, and not mechayev and bedikas chametz. The chayer at pshat on the Gemara. Oh, now if you look at Masechta Pesachim, the whole Masechta Pesachim is basically dealing with 24 hours. Maybe 27 hours. That's it. That's the ganze maisa. Be'erach, pachot or yoter. The most you could push it up to was 30 hours. That's it. It starts Erla Abbas and Boykinus Achamas around there. And basically it goes through the whole day. These are all the halachas that you have to do. Pesach, the Bigas Chametz, the Korban Pesach, all of that. Until you finally get enough tzaddik tests, you get to Ari Psochem Samach Lemincha, so you're in the late afternoon there of Pesach, and then you go into the Seder. So the whole Masechta Psochem is built basically on a day and a quarter, that's the structure of the Masechta. So where do we begin? That's where the Masechta begins. So that's where we'll begin. So the Shaila is, what do I need Bedikas Chametz for? For what? So the simple answer all of us would give. Well, there's an Isra Balyarol Balyamotza. You can't possess Chametz. So what else are you going to do? You got to clean it out. You can't possess it. You have to clean it out. It's not a bad pshat. Rashi says that pshat, Shlo Yavar Olav Avayir Ol Vayimotzei, so it can't be a bare pshat. That's the first, right? That's where Rashi starts off the Masechta. Oh, so now the Shaila is, a Tosfos says though, can't be. Why? Because there are two Gemaras. One Gemara says that Midoraisa Bebitl Ba'al Masan. If I did Bitl Chametz, then I won't violate Bayiro and Bayimotze. That's number one. Secondly, the Gemara also says, Habaydik Tzorosh Yevapa. Even if you do Bedikas Chametz, you still have to do Bittul Chametz. It means every Jew is going to do Bittul Chametz. And if I did Bittul Chametz, I won't violate Bayiro and Bayimotze. So then what do I have practically, or what do I have to do Bedikas for? So what do I need it for? So Tosfos says, Tosfos learns, what's the reason? Tosfos says the reason is that midoraisa, if I did bittul, so I could sit in the middle of where I am on the table, put down my three shmura matzahs, take out my Pesach becher porter wine, and put four chalas on the other end of the table and leave them there. I was mavatal them, that's all. And I sincerely meant the bittul. I don't want them, and if a guy wants to come take them, he's welcome to take them. I don't care. Doesn't mean a thing to me. I'll just leave them there. With the rice, I'm fine. But if I'm going to try to live with yontif like that, Taisa says, he brings a raya from a Gemara, the problem is that I may forget in the midst of yontif and come to eat it. I'll come to eat it. Listen, it'll be too late already. It'll be after you eat it, then she'll shoot you. So, you know. So, that's Bekoch Nevesh too. So that's what Tosfos says. So Tosfos says, Wally, wait a second. This doesn't add up exactly. It's based on a Gemara and a few Ramad Beis of Psochem, but he said it doesn't add up. Let's say you lent a few $100,000 to a corporation. Bond, whatever. They went bankrupt. So the receiver comes and he calls you up and he says, Mr. Schlanger, listen, you know, you owed $250,000. Be fortunate you're collecting. But all they have, listen, the guy has, you know, 100,000 pounds of chazer in his warehouse, you know. That's it. So, you know, we'll deliver it to you. It's yours. You know, we're putting it in your possession. Deliver it to your warehouse and it's yours. So I'll be din, you're allowed to take it. Not allowed to go buy chazer to do business. Shalav it's Yisra Deraisa, Yisra Derabbanan, but also it is. For anything that's treif. No, except for, if it's human food. Not if it's animal food. The animal food is different. But it's, yeah, or furthermore, I can't even buy treif to give to Goyish workers. So let's say I have a painter who's painting my house. I can't go to McDonald's and buy him a hamburger and give it to him. That's also considered doing schayr with over also. Can't do that either. But if I got it in business, yeah, the guy went bankrupt and the receiver came and this, and he took possession of $250,000 worth of chazer, I'm allowed to have it. So wait a second. So what do you mean? If I can't have bread in my house, so why can I have chazer in my house? Why aren't you afraid? Shelo yovel ochlo. So Tosfos says, look, that's not a good question. Because bread I eat, I always eat bread. I'm used to eating bread. Chazer? Oh, I hated Ramesh in the years that I lived in Brooklyn. I lived in a building where Goyim lived. dacht, oh, de stench van de verbeking. Ik dacht, oh, still, mama's, I'm still from the east. Mama's from the east, what can I tell you? It's as the person should say, Efshi, but, you know, but but the Rebbeinu said, not, what can I do? Babiasi, Efshi, I can still smell it, you know. It's mama's a stench. So, good, so then I'm not about to eat. So, Prektois is no hakash. Okay. So, we all celebrated Yom Kippur this past year. So, did we put 7 locks around the fridge and give the key away to somebody till after Yontif? So, why not? Also, Shalom Yogol Ochlo. And it's also a Issa Chorus, Yom Kippur. So, why is that any different? If you're not supposed to have food around, you're afraid you're going to eat it. So, why is Yom Kippur any different? No, was up to said. It's a good kasha. So Taisa says, "Oichnish kan kasha." Why not? Taisa says, "On Yom Kippur, I'm not eating altogether. Food is not on my radar. It's off radar. So you don't eat on Yom Kippur. I'm porish from eating. So, but the problem is, on Pesach, I'm eating." So when you're eating, then it's a whole question how discerning, how careful you're going to be when you're eating. When you're not eating, you're not eating. So therefore, we're not concerned on Yom Kippur that you have to get all the food out of your house. So Tosfos says the deal is shelo yovel la'ochlo. So therefore, the bittul doesn't help. Because if I'm going to be mevatel, yeah, I can leave it on the table. But what the consequences of that might be, we don't know. But it's a very interesting Yerushalmi. Simon Tov Mem Ches is a simon of the Shulchan Aruch, which not too many lay people learn. That's principally, if you want to know one of the major things, not the only thing in that simon, but if you want to actually know how to do the Mechiras Chametz. You know, Rabbonim do Mechiras Chametz. The Balabatim authorized the rabbi to give him the power of attorney to sell the chametz on their behalf, but they don't actually do mechiras chametz. The rav doesn't buy the chametz from you. The rav merely is your agent to sell the chametz. So, if you want to know how to actually do mechiras chametz, that's one of the things you find in Siman Tov Memches. But for that reason, it's not a siman that's often learned by lay people. But in this siman, quotes a very interesting Yerushalmi. Suppose Ma'ez Atam Shigi, I did Bittul Chametz. I didn't do Bedikas Chametz. Ma'ez Atam Shigi, whatever, life got hectic, whatever it was, I didn't do Bedikas Chametz, period. I did Bittul Chametz. And I did Bittul Chametz with absolute sincerity. I really meant to be Mevatel it. We'll come back to what Bittul means, but whatever Bittul means, I did it to that nth degree. I know. I'm the one that did it. You don't have to believe me, but I know what I did for myself. So I did it. Comes after Pesach. I open up the freezer. And in the bottom of the freezer, I find the chocolate mousse cake. Exquisite. You know. My wife made 2 of them. One I ate for Purim. And one I forgot in the bottom of the freezer before Pesach. And it stayed down there. And the day of the Yontif, whatever, I took it out. So the Hafli. And so I wasn't over by your Rabbi Yemotza. I did Bittul Chametz. And I know I did it B'Leib Sholem. So I have no shyness. You know, you don't want to let me sell it. You don't believe me. That's your business. I want to eat it myself. I know that I did it B'Leib Sholem. I have no shyness. So I wasn't over by your Rabbi Yemotza. Now Chametz after Pesach, we pass. And Rabbi Yehuda said, there's a lav. We don't pass enough. We pass like Rav Shimon. That's a knas. It's a penalty for having violated Bayirah, and he imposed the knas on it. But I didn't violate Bayirah, Bayimotzi, so why should I get a knas? So Rishalmi says, and that's what we find in the Shulchan Aruch on Tav Memches, that the chametz, my chocolate mousse cake, my dear chocolate mousse cake, is Osir Bahano. Osir Bahano. Ashad. Ashad. The Rav's got to find a hat for me. This is, you know. And a good one. I had the other one. I know how good it is. Ashad. Gotta go to the Rav. The Rav gotta find out. That's it. He says it donated to the shul before Yom Tov. You know, this is an interesting. It just once happened. This is an amazing story. A rov forgot. I live mamash in fear of this every year. You should know. A rov forgot to do the mechiras chametz for the shul. I mamash live in fear of this every year. I wait the first officer that I see. I get a lot of sign on the dotted line. You know, but. So we called B.F. the Yontif. But the shul didn't possess too much, a few bottles of schnapps. So we pitched them out and placed them, and life went on. But I did find a tshuva of the Rogachova. So it says the following, that Shalacho lo yiro lecho chometz. So the Gemara himself says, Shalacho ataroya, well ataroya shalachera, meaning of a nanju, or b'shal gavoa. And belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. So if I have chametz to the Mikdash, if I was makdish chametz to the Mikdash, and I didn't do anything, I just left it in my reshus, there's no bayiro or bayimotze on it. So the Rogachova says that this is true. Ataroya shel acherim shel gavoa. Shel gavoa includes the what is owned by a Beis HaKnesses. So I presume the pshat in the Rogachova, that's what I, it's a chiddush niflo. It's not exactly a Beis HaMikdash. I presume the pshat is like this. In the, you know, we Jews know how to fight. We know how to make shalom is a different problem, but we know how to fight, Baruch Hashem, we're malumet and machlekes, you know. Mamash, unfortunately, mamash malumet and machlekes. So at the time of the Ga'inim, you think now a guy gets mad. Ronnie didn't give him the right aliyah. Okay, so he gets mad at Ronnie, doesn't show up in shul for a few weeks, you know, until he calms down, and then life goes on. You know, Ronnie has a few more gray hairs, and it's a gay night. Okay. That's it, so, you know. In the time of the Gaonim, they had a different tactic. Be'etzem, a shul is a chotzer ashutva. It's owned by all the members of the shul. And it has practical implications. L'moshe Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, that if you're a member of a shul, then the shuls tell us you have to make a brocha, because you're an owner. But if you're not a member, you don't have to make a brocha, because it belongs to Baruch Talis, for example. So what did the guy used to do? The guy made an iser that nobody in town is allowed to be nene for my chelek of the shul. So nobody could come into shul, because it's undefined. You know, and every drop in the shul, every spot, he owns a little bit. So if we think we have nasty fights nowadays, you know... four beers were quite capable in their own right. So it says that there was a takonas ha-ga'inim that they made that you can't do this. So I said, what's the pshat? What is, how does it work? And but if I can't, what do you mean you can't do it? I did it. And it's mine, and I banned everyone. How can the ga'inim make a takonah to undo another derisa? So I wanted to learn pshat that the ga'inim changed the nature of a bailus of a shul. That basically they changed it from a chotzer ashutva into a corporate entity. It's a corporate, like the migdash is a corporate entity, it's not a shutvas. I don't own a chelek of hegdash, hegdash is an entity unto itself. They restructured the shul into a corporate entity. So it's not a chotzer ashutva anymore. It's not that I have a part in it. It's a corporation is a bria b'fnei atzma, right? There are some, the Dvar Avram, the last rov of Kovno, until the war. Zecher Tzadik Lebroch was killed in the war. Shemim Kavdomov. He was a shutif in a bank. And the bank lent money for a ribbis. Well, and he wrote a tshuva, he held, that a corporation is not bound by the laws of ribbis. It's a chiddush dikah position. Ramosh held, halfway is right, whatever, be that as it may. I'm not telling halacha lemaisa to conduct it, but the Dvar Avram held that this was the halacha lemaisa. Why? Because it's a different bria. Corporations are not a shutfus. Corporations are a different entity. So I think that that's what the Rogachov means. That the same way as Shal Gavoya, because you don't actually own it, it's owned by the entity of Hegdish. A Beis HaKnesses nobody owns. It's the entity of the Beis HaKnesses. That's the chayr of what the Goyim didn't that takana. They changed the nature of how a shul is organized. Mameila, the Rabbi Chava said, is at the Roya Shalachayim Shal Gavoya. Yeah, Mameila is not a problem. According to him, the shul, the chometz of a Beit Knesset, if you didn't sell it, then it doesn't become awesome. So here we have, but I didn't give it to the shul. I kept it for myself. Kumtz again.
You're not over
about your rabbi. I wasn't over. I was mevatel it. And the Rishalmi says it's osir b'hano. So I think the pshat in the Rishalmi is because bito is something which you cannot really establish if you did it or you didn't do it. You know, meaning to say, there's no absolute proof. Were you mevatel b'leiv sholem or not? There's no standard by which we can assess that. So we don't want the world operating. Everyone's going to run around. Listen, I didn't sell my chametz. I didn't get rid of my chametz. I was mevatel my chametz. You go to the kifur after yom tov, and I say, oh, Sam, I was mevatel my chametz. Yeah. You know, we can't run the world that way. So Mameila Chazal said, if that's what you did, so the answer is, it'll be osir b'hano for everybody. We can't get involved in how sincere you are in the bittul, how worried you were not sincere in the bittul. That's it. Bittul doesn't remove the isur hano. So now, if you want to get out of the isur hano, you're going to have to do something. Either you'll have to sell the chametz, you'll have to throw it out, but you're not getting out of the isur hano with bittul.
Why are you on the mechira and the deka? Right before, so I'm looking for something. Now, I sold it. And
you didn't sell it yet.
What? All right.
It wasn't sold yet.
I left the right of the road 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So now, and the next day, I'm planning on being in Vatel. What am I looking for?
But you look again, according to Tysus, it's very good because right. We don't want you to find a piece of chametz which you might want to eat. You're not looking for a tiny crumb, but you're looking for a piece of chametz that's big enough that you might want to eat.
First day, but I'm planning on. And having the sale go into effect.
So it still doesn't change. It still doesn't change the fact.
No,
it's not. We're not dealing with the issue of Bayiro Bayimotzi. We're dealing with the issue of Achila.
Right.
As Tyson was saying.
Good.
So I don't care. Well, you might eat it anyhow.
Eat it.
It's in your house.
Without thinking, you'll eat it.
Okay.
After enough
so that's what I'm about. I'm about to though.
So it still doesn't help. It's still around.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm just trying to think of what I'm thinking when I'm doing my pito. It's am I thinking of any big piece? You know, what do I have in mind when everything I will have sold and everything else I checked the night before?
Well, you also want. There's another reason you have to do bito, and I told you. I remember seeing this. I actually saw this in the paper when it happened. You know, Bnei Brak is such a frum place that even the Shabbos guy in Bnei Brak is also a yid. It's a ma'aser shalaya. I remember when it happened. I saw it. What happened was, it happened in Yom Tovshin Chavtes, the long time Shabbos guy, the Arab of Bnei Brak, died. So when he died, his wife went to the Chevra Kadish and said, listen, I'm an Arab woman. My husband was Jewish, and he married me, I don't know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever it was. And his request was that when he dies, he wants to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. So they went, and they were Derish V'chayikar, and it's true, he was a Yid.
Wow.
So, consequently, that's another reason to do Bittul Chametz. Just in case, you know, that this guy that we think is a guy, is a Yid, you don't want to wind up owning the Chametz on Pesach.
Anthony
Baruch Hashem, I think he's pretty muchsik to be that he's, you know, he's not one of us. But, you know, listen, you never know in this world. Right? John Gotti's kids are Jews, right?
Kids are Jewish?
A lot of them.
John Gotti's
wife's Jewish?
Yeah, his wife's mother was a Jewish lady married to an Italian.
Really?
Yeah. I came to a nursing home once. I came there one day once. It was at the end of December in a real Polish Catholic neighborhood. A Polish Catholic neighborhood. There's a woman there, and this woman could be the poster child for the Polish embassy. I mean, she looks like a Polisher. She has a Polish husband, they speak Polish, she belongs to a Polish Roman Catholic church, you know. All 9 yards. So one day I come in and I wish that was December, I wished her a happy holiday. So she knows me. She says, Rabbi, happy Hanukkah to you. So I was shocked. I said, Julie, how do you know about our holidays? So she says, how do I know about your holidays? She says, my mother is Jewish. And she tells me a story, a tragic story, but it's very tragic. The time of the Holocaust, her grandparents hit her mother with a Polish Catholic family, as one of the children of that family. And in the war years, she lived together with them, and that's how she survived the war. When the war ended, she fell in love with one of the sons of that Polish Catholic family, and she married him. And that was this woman's, that was this woman's father. So she was actually Jewish. Then a while, I met her another year, maybe 2 years later, I don't remember. And she says, Rabbi, can you do me a favor? My mother is filing for reparations from the Germans, from the Holocaust. So they have, if you know, that they have these Yiddish books for in memory of various towns in Shtetlach, you know, very, what? Yeah, whatever, the whole story of the town, whatever, the Yisker books, yeah. So her town had one also. So she needed me to translate a couple of pages from the Yiddish into English to put into the affidavit. So I would listen, the Yemach Shalom and the Deitch, anything, whatever, I did it gleefully, you know. You know, but there's a woman, you know, you don't know. You swear on a Sefer Torah, your kids are Amish, Polish, Goyim, you know, belonging to a Polish church, you know. And Garnish, they're Yidin, Amish, Efer, Yidin. Yep.
Sure.